All of us probably, in some degree or another, are going through a Red Sea. And the Red Sea here is symbolic of any difficulty or trial that we go through. We have to trust in God rather than ourselves for deliverance. And just like the children of Israel, and you see God's plan as it was worked as Joseph became governor over Egypt and the children of Israel were taken down there by Pharaoh, and there's only about 75 of them at the time. And as we can calculate, grew to several million by the time they left Egypt 400 years later. But getting to that point where they came out of Egypt exactly as God had said that they would and go into the promised land, there was a lot that went into all of that, and that was something really hard to get to. You remember as the children of Israel were enslaved. And then God sends His representative Moses and says, "Let my people go." And here their task had become just so difficult, and Pharaoh even took away the straw, so they even had to find some straw to make the bricks that had to be made. Life was really, really tough for them. Then after they came out of Egypt and they found themselves trapped between Egypt and the army of Egypt and the Red Sea, and logic told them that they were doomed. But they weren't really doomed because God was on their side. And God parted the Red Sea for them, and they crossed over on dry land. And God parts the Red Sea for us today. That's why we as Christians, we can have the peace that surpasses all understanding, because we know God is going to part that Red Sea. And it may be really hard to get there. There may be a lot to do to get there. There may be very difficult trials and struggles, and life may be very difficult, but God is going to part that Red Sea. And most of all, when we close our eyes in death, there's a sea to be crossed. That sea is to eternity. That sea also will be parted. Think back to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you know, all the difficulties that he had to go through and endure. And you know, every once in a while I'll get thinking that life can be pretty tough and it can be pretty rough. And you think about all the things that we have to go through. Sometimes it's illness, and I think about Roe, and I think about all of the difficulties he has in life, and I think about all of the pain and the suffering that he goes through. And I think about Louise, who would just do anything that she could just to be out. Doesn't even go to the store anymore. And I think about Tina, who has her own problems but is yet staying home and taking care of Roe. I think about illnesses. I think about the difficulties that exist in relationships or in our careers or whatever it may be. And then I remember the Apostle Paul. "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes." I couldn't imagine being hit with one of those things once, much less 39 on five different occasions. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles. Dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" The Apostle Paul had it so hard and so difficult, and then he ends up in jail. History, not the Bible, but history tells us Paul got out of jail, got put back in jail, and then his head was cut off. because he was a Christian. That's a pretty hard way to go. I've wondered what it feels like to have your head cut off. Have you ever thought about that? Hopefully you don't know too much about it right when it happens. I mean, getting to that point has to be pretty bad. And knowing what they're going to do has to be pretty bad. And I just hope if that ever happened to me, the guy that was doing it was pretty good. He got it over with it real fast. And so here was the Apostle Paul and all the others that you can think about. And of course, there was Jesus. And I thought today as Gary was reading from Matthew, and the high priest was, you know, saying, you know, are you the Christ? I adjure you by the living God. Tell us. These people were making all these accusations, and Jesus didn't say anything. I wondered what he was thinking. And you know, Jesus could just silence them all just with the incredible words that he could utter. But he didn't do it because he knew he had to go to the cross. What is the Red Sea you are crossing today? What are the trials, the difficulties, the things that you have in your life that you're dealing with? And I suspect that all of us, it may be somebody at work who's giving us a hard time. That's not a big deal in the grand scheme of everything, but it's still something that we have to deal with. It may be sickness, it may be finances, it may be a job. What is the Red Sea that you are crossing in your life today? Sometimes we must suffer for years and years and years as we perhaps get to the Red Sea and then we actually start to cross it. There's suffering that occurs. Remember Job. Turn your Bibles over to James chapter 5. Here James says, we count these blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And remember the story of Job. Here was a very holy, a very righteous man, and he was also a very rich man. And Satan was in heaven and walking around doing whatever he does, however he was doing it. And God says, have you seen my servant Job? And the devil says, oh yeah, I've seen him, but you know, anybody could be faithful to you if they were so rich and had a hedge all around them and everything was so good for them. I mean, anybody can serve God if that's the way that it is. And then God, first of all, let him take away his family except for his wife. Take away his sons and his daughters, and then take away his servants, and take away his animals, and take his possessions, and he became just a poor man. And his wife just wanted him to curse God and die. But you know, he was faithful to the Lord, and then Satan was allowed after that to afflict him with boils, and he would take a potsherd, and he was scratching himself all over the place, just trying to get some relief. And he did sin. He had three friends who convinced him that it was because of his sin that God was doing all of this, and that was his mistake. He listened to sinful men give him sinful advice, and he believed that, and he thought then that God was being unrighteous about all of these things. And then he wanted to blame God for it. He wanted God just to come on down so he could question and interrogate him, and that really was a big mistake. Finally, he came to his senses. He repented of those things and he prayed to God. But I want you to notice that Job hadn't done anything wrong. Nothing wrong. And God allowed the devil to do all of these bad things to him. Why? Why? Well, we're not told exactly. I think one reason, at least one reason, was to prove a point to the devil. To prove a point to the devil. And probably to prove something to other people living during that time and give us this lesson that is here for us. But probably to prove something to the devil. we oftentimes do not know the reasons that we go through the things that we go through. Sometimes, like Job, there are trials for years and years and years, perhaps for a whole lifetime. But we must retain our integrity and our godliness and endure patiently, long-suffering and perseverance. And as John says in 1 John 5:4, that we will be victorious. And this is our victory, and it is our faith that overcomes the world. We all have a Red Sea to go through. Perhaps all of us are going through one right now. And sometimes the Red Sea that we must go through is an insurmountable difficulty. It seems to be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We can't cross this Red Sea, whatever it is, however small or however large, without God's help. Let me remind you back in Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning in verse 29. Hebrews 11 and verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now, what is the difference here? Here, one group of people went through on dry land and another group of people did not. As a matter of fact, when they tried to go through, God dumbfounded them, and then eventually, after the Israelites were all done crossing, then the water comes back upon them and they're destroyed. What is the difference? The difference is faith. If we believe in God and we place our faith in God, then we are going to pass through this Red Sea, whatever it is. Again, what is your Red Sea of life? What is it you're dealing with right now? Perhaps some of the things in the past, you think and reflect back on them, but we need to be prepared to go through the difficulties of life, the very difficult Red Seas that are awaiting us. Just as the Egyptians thought they had trapped the Israelites and there was no way they could cross, perhaps many believe they have us in some difficulty that cannot be crossed, but it can because of God. The Egyptians disobeyed and they were destroyed. Well, look at verse 30. Verse 30. And we talked about this in our Bible class today. We didn't have time to get into all the details. But here we have another generation, the next generation. And they too have a symbolic, figurative Red Sea to cross, but this time it was the Jordan River. And it was the conquering of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And this is the way that it works with crossing a Red Sea, with crossing the difficulties of life and the trials of life, as we trust God and we have faith in Him. Just as the Israelites had faith in God, when they saw the Egyptians and here was the Red Sea, When the Israelites saw the Jordan River and they needed to cross that and go to the promised land and defeat all of these nations, God said, "Why are you waiting? Move forward." That's what we must do. Move forward, trust in God, expect God to open up that sea, to do the things that need to be done, to give us the strength that we need to get across that sea or that river. And when we do the things that God has commanded us, no matter how silly or insignificant they may seem to be, then God does His part. He who performs His work in those who believe in His Word. God performs His work And the children of Israel went around Jericho 6 times, 1 time each day on 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day. And there were quiets through all of that. And then at the signal of Joshua, then they shouted, expecting victory from God. We too must cross the Jordan River. We must cross the Red Sea. And we do so by faith as we circle our Jericho. There, another symbol. As we circle our Jericho, doing the things God has us to do, trusting in God, those walls are going to fall. And then how about Rahab? Verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What was the difference between Rahab and all of the others? It was her faith and it was her obedience, as James also speaks of. And as we too have faith in God and we are obedient to God, the seas open up and the walls of cities fall. And God delivers us from our trials and our difficulties in our obedience to Him. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And many times we don't see what that purpose is. You know, when we were making a change and we were going to be leaving from Thomasville, I didn't know the purpose in all of that. I figured it was the right thing to do. Things have sort of worked themselves that way. And I could figure a few things. There was time for a new challenge. Brethren in Thomasville were ready to turn another leaf in life, and they were ready for something else, and I think that was good for them. Just had elders, and you know, it's time that I was out of there. They were the ones leading. It would have been a little more difficult if I was there. But I didn't know the purpose with all of these things, and I was perplexed some of the time, and it was difficult from time to time. And you don't know where you're going to be or where you're going to go or what the conditions are going to be. And you worry some about those things. And now I'm really glad God did all of that. Because there was a door waiting for us here that was opening up. And it's been great for us. I hope it's been nearly as good for you as it's been for us. And now I can look back and I can see the purpose, at least in part, with those things. But a lot of times we can't see the purpose. The children of Israel in slavery, could they see the purpose of God to enslave them, make their labor so difficult, and Pharaoh command that their babies be killed? What's the purpose of all of that? And then God have them released, and now Pharaoh's heart is hardened once again, and here comes the army, and now they're trapped against the Red Sea. What was the purpose? Sometimes they wonder, to have us all die here? Is this the purpose? That was not the purpose. What was the purpose of God? The purpose of God was so that He could prove to them that He was God. He was their God. And to prove to all the nations, I am the God of heaven who must be worshipped and obeyed. They had to suffer so that purpose could be proved. We talked about Job and the purpose with all of that. And you look at the book of Revelation and you read history as to all the things that occurred as prophesied in the book of Revelation and the things that our brethren endured. I am so glad I do not have to watch my grown children crucified upon a cross and left there for the birds to pick their bones clean. I'm so glad I do not have to live in that time and see those things. To see mother and father thrown to the lions and ravaged for the entertainment of a heathenous, pagan people. But God had a purpose. What was God's purpose? The book of Revelation is to prove, it is to show that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And what is the purpose in our lives when these things come about? Sometimes it may be the same. To prove to those in our generation that there is a God, as we face these things with the confidence and the peace and the assurance from the God of heaven, we're showing and demonstrating that very thing in our life. And sometimes it's to make us a better person. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5, Scripture you know very well. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that exultation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint. And they say they exult or they rejoice. Brethren, do we rejoice when we're faced by the Red Sea of life? When we're faced by the Jordan River to cross and to go to Jericho, and to circle the city for the walls to fall, do we rejoice when we must endure these trials? What is the Red Sea that's in your life today? What are the trials that are in your life today? You're certainly not enjoying going through it and experiencing it, but part of you has to rejoice and be happy that you're showing to others that there is a God, and that because of God, I'll be victorious over these trials, and I'll be a better person. James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Every time we go through one of these trials and one of these difficulties, we're stronger and we're better because of it. It has its result, bringing us to completion and perfection, that we're stronger to endure the next Red Sea of life that comes our way. And so when we were still in Thomasville, although the difficulties there were very minor as far as making our change in life and where are we going to be and what's it going to be like and the situation that we were going to be in, it was the not knowing that sometimes was the worst part. And yet I knew this, I was happy because I knew this, that all of us in our family, we were going to be stronger and we're going to be better able to serve God, and we're going to be better able to confront the next Red Sea that came our way. What is the Red Sea in your life? Do you have faith, trust, obedience in God? Do you know, in part at least, the reason that you're going through that? Can you not see what you're proving to others around you? Can you not see that it's going to make you better? Susan, I don't know how to say her last name, Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N, Christian woman who's been battling with cancer. And her husband wrote this August 15th and posted it on BOL, Brethren Online. The title of it, Trials Are Like Crossing the Red Sea. Susan's first day at home was good. She slept much better, although she still has coughing fits and night sweats from the cancer. She spent most of the day in the family room, and she did get some walking into the kitchen. She even made bread with the bread machine and cleaned out some of the things in the refrigerator that had been there. Well, you know how it is. Her appetite remains good. We have an appointment tomorrow morning to check on the numbers to see how she is doing with blood counts, etc. Her port, that's a little port they put in a vein, sometimes up around the neck so they can access it real easy to do the chemotherapy. Her port is scheduled for next Tuesday. That is required in order to get the second chemotherapy boost a week from this coming Thursday. Her spirits remain good. We're all determined to trust in God and believe in His power. You know, there is probably a reason the Israelites didn't just have to puddle jump in order to get into the promised land. I think that's a good point. It's funny, he wrote this after I'd started this lesson some weeks ago. And he says, there's a reason God didn't make it so easy. Could He have done it without the slavery? Yes. Could He have done it without making their life so hard and difficult? Could He have done it without the babies being murdered by the Egyptians? Could He have done it without dividing the Red Sea? He could have just miraculously put them over there. He could have. God could have. But why didn't He? And couldn't He have made your life? Does He not have the power to make your life and take the trials of your life away so that they never came about? Yes. But why didn't He? Anyone could have denied the power of God in that, just puddle jumping over the Red Sea. Now, parting the Red Sea, that's a different story. And although Kevin wrote this about his wife, after I started this lesson and everything, I saw this, I said, man, it's a great illustration. Because we all have something we're going through. There's always seems to be some little trial, maybe a friend at school that's giving us a hard time, it may be a situation at work, it may be our schedules that are just so overwhelming, it may be illness, just whatever it is, there is something that we're all dealing with. And if we understand, number one, if it was too much, God would take it away. Number two, it's there for a reason. Number three, that I'm glad to go through it. What is the Red Sea in your life that you are crossing? Do you see that God has put it there for you? Possibly for others. Do you see the blessings that others are receiving as they watch and observe your endurance and your final victory? And do you understand it's making you into a better person? Rejoice and count it as all joy. We're going to offer the invitation. 322. Bring Christ your broken life. When we're going through trials, our lives are broken. Sure does seem that way, at least to me. Especially on the hard ones. Christ is the solution. So many ways that we could talk about. Through His Word, through prayer, through our brethren. And if you're going through one of those trials, we sure would like to know about it. We'd like to pray for you. You can let us know now, or you could just tell some of your friends here, whatever it is. But also, the biggest Red Sea of life that anyone must cross is that Red Sea of sin. Because until we cross over, we're lost in sin. And that can be hard to do. Just like Rahab had to leave a bunch of folks behind and come out and be counted with the children of God in the lineage of Christ. She had to step out. Leave others behind. Just as Lot and his family had to do. just as Christ had to do from Jerusalem to come out so that he would be crucified outside of the gate. We too must come out. If you're not a Christian today, you need to come out. You need to come out from amongst their midst of the world and of sin and be a child of God. You need to cross over that Red Sea. And just like with the children of Israel, once they moved forward, the waters were divided, crossing over the Jordan River. And once you step out in obedience to Christ, the waters will be parted for you and you will cross over on dry land to the other side to be a child of God. The simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, believe in me. Change, make the commitment not to live in sin any longer. Confess your faith before men that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have the faith to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, having faith in the working of God who has promised those who obey. Rise up clean and whole, washed in the blood of the Lamb, a new creation. Having crossed over that Red Sea, getting ready for the next one. If we can help you today, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?